T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, Dustin. Happy draft day. Happy Cavs.
Happy
Game 3 Magic.
Draft day there, Nikolai.
Game 3 Magic. Listen, happy draft day.
Happy draft day. Happy NBA playoff day. Now, dude, a lot going on today, buddy.
I know.
Boy.
This show's going to fly.
Dude, we got the Gardos. Jose with a grand salami to start this thing off.
I will tell you, I don't know that of all the plays in baseball, there I have a lot of favorite plays. Like, if you ever get to see a triple play in person, really cool. A grand slam is never not an awesome thing. Like, okay, it's awesomely bad when your team gives it up, but when your team gets the grand salami, oh.
You almost feel like you just guaranteed a win.
Yeah, which is almost.
I would love to know the stats for teams that hit a grand slam in a game actually lose.
I'm going to say right now, with no factual proof, I'll say 75%. Although Tristan's making it interesting, I will say that. So, obviously, day baseball for the Guardians today, but have you done your yearly draft day ritual? Have you truly gotten yourself ready for the NFL draft tonight?
Well, what would that be?
Okay, so I thought everybody did this. If you listened to the morning show today, this is not about the morning boys, all right? Because they're as incredulous as you and I are about to be. Mitch, their producer, Mitch Spinell, said that every year, the night before the draft, he watches the movie Draft Day. And it caught Keith so off guard that Keith tweeted from our social media account at @afternoon923fan is watching the movie Draft Day the night before the NFL draft every year. A lame tradition. By the way, social media reaction on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. By the way, 53.5% of people saying yes, it is lame. So have you watched Draft Day? So now that you'll be ready for the actual NFL draft.
No, I think it's one of the worst movies of all time, and that's saying a lot because Kevin Costner is one of my favorites, probably top 5 actors of all time.
And here's
definitely
the other
top
thing.
10.
Kevin Costner in sports movies unbeatable.
They don't not work.
Like, For the Love of the Game, for all intents and purposes, is a chick flick. It's fantastic. Like, Vanessa knows there's about 3 chick flicks that you can say I would like to watch. Would you like to watch it with me? And you get an automatic yes. For the Love of the Game is one of them.
Dude, I watched that movie when I was in high school by myself. I definitely cried.
For me, it's Kelly Preston.
No, oh, she's the best.
I mean, she is just not just a phenomenal actress, but just a ray of light in everything she's in.
You just can't screw that woman over.
Yeah. And Billy Chappell didn't. He got honest by the end of that movie.
Well, I mean, he tried to.
He tried to
muck it up.
Yeah, you know what, though? He was going through a lot. Okay?
I said muck, I mean, by the way.
You did.
With
Thank
an
you.
M.
I mean,
clarifying that.
I said the show was going to go fast. It would have gone a lot faster if you had got us thrown off air before five minutes into the show.
It actually got a lot longer because you'd be doing it by yourself.
That's
you
fair.
You can do it!
I would have Peter Lynn in the 6 o'clock hour, which we have tonight as well. But no, so here's the problem with draft day. It's not the weird love story in the middle of a sports movie that doesn't fit. And the weird age difference between Kevin Costner and Jennifer Garner. And we're just going to ignore the whole work romance of an older established man who apparently is childless in his 50s and a young woman. We're not even going to ignore the HR complaint that is that. It's not the fact that they have too many characters with overlapping responsibilities. Like, Dennis Leary's great. Why did you need Dennis Leary in that movie? It's not even the fact that most of the movie's a little cheesy. It's not that. and then it doesn't have 92 Through the Fan in it, which was a huge mistake. That's when you knew it was going to fail. But, no, you know when it really – you know why I will never watch Draft Day on purpose unless I am really, really, really smacked out of my gourd and I just it doesn't matter what's on TV? It's the whole resolution of the problem, which is we're going to trade 3 second rounders to you for the 7th pick in the draft. You lost all credibility. That will never happen. No one will ever, like, if Sasha, good Lord, if Andrew Berry right now called up Tennessee and said, hey, you're not sure who you're going to pick. We're going to give you 54. We're going to give you next year's second rounder. And we're going to give you 2 years from now second rounder. Rand Carthen, their GM, would hang up and say, lose my number. That's where you lost me. I could have put up with every schmaltzy piece of crap in that movie. All right? Honestly. Costner?
What's schmaltzy, man?
Not good.
Cheesy?
Cheesy. Cheesy's really the only... I just didn't want to say cheesy again. But no, I could have done it with everything else in that movie that doesn't work. All right? And listen, the premise of Vontae Mack, no matter what, is awesome. Right? Great payoff. It's just...
The stupid birthday party thing.
Yeah, that 100%.
Way overplayed.
Yes. Thank you. I could even overlook that! But I cannot overlook, oh, we're going to trade you... 3 second rounders for the 7th pick in the draft. That is just, how does somebody, and again, the guys who made the movie are from Cleveland.
Yeah.
How do they not know?
Well, wasn't there another part of the movie too that just didn't add up? Like when he's driving the day of the draft, like to the office or whatever, I forget whether or not it was like he got there way too fast because of where he was coming from.
Yeah.
Or if it was like took way too long, but either one didn't add up.
It was also apparently the owner flying back, which I thought that should have been the crux of the movie. Get rid of Dennis Leary. Sonny Weaver is the head coach and GM. He's a dinosaur compared to everybody else.
Dennis Leary hasn't been funny since The Ref.
I loved Rescue Me. I thought Rescue Me was awesome. I've not watched it in about a decade, but I did love me some Rescue Me. And The Ref is criminally underrated. Extra points to you for bringing that up. But 216-474-0092. Are you one of the single-digit people out here getting ready for the NFL draft by watching the draft day movie with Kevin Costner? And is there any – can you give any response on why you should like that movie other than it's set on the Cleveland Browns?
That's it. That's it. I mean, there's nothing else good about it.
Because that's not why I like Major League. Did it make it a little bit more likable? Yes. It also helped that the Cleveland Indians at the time were the laughingstock of baseball.
I mean, Major League was a good movie for any fan.
But the whole thing's plausible.
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, you could have put that as the Chicago White Sox. You could have put that as any other team.
Any bad baseball team. Or historically, like...
Yeah.
Not a great organization.
Milwaukee Brewers were supposed to be the team in the original draft.
Well, they even filmed it in the Brewers Stadium.
Yeah. So, yes. And Bob Uecker, Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Can you believe he's still calling games?
And still sharp, dude.
Dude.
Still better at this than you and I are at, like, damn near 90.
It does amaze me that people, like, Hubie Brown can still do it at a high level. People think he's maybe losing it, but still does it. Bill Raftery still does it at 83.
You're better at your job as an octogenarian than I am.
How many big words are you going to use in the first segment to try
to show
more. How smart you are?
Give me a few more. It's not about being smart. It's just that's what comes out.
There's no way.
There's no way. There
There's
is a way.
No way.
Octogenarian is like, how is that a big word? Other
octogenarian?
Than
octogenarian?
Yeah. Other
never
than,
heard it once in my life.
You don't,
Keith? Have you heard that word before?
You don't hang out with a lot of 80-year-olds.
Definitely not used on a radio show.
You've heard it though before.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I was listening to alternative radio the other day, and they're like, oh, it's Sledge. I'm going to play you some Pantera. Ah, these guys would be octogenarians today. Sorry, that bit died. That bit died right there. I just wanted to make fun of the names on alternative music radio, and then I played myself, quite frankly. Matt, I also got to give credit to the Morning Boys. They actually played Sound
Morning
of Our
Boys.
Show today. They played Sound of Our Show today and accurately represented the question we had yesterday, which is how much attention are you going to pay to the NFL draft versus this Cavs Magic game? And there's one thing that I missed that I probably should have led the conversation with. I think in Cleveland, there's going to be a direct correlation between the quality of the Cavs Magic game tonight and how many people click over. And again, I know you can have the two TV set up, but it's about which one are you more, which one's going to be more intriguing. And if the Cavs Magic first half is another 20 point instance, I think it's going to lead a lot of people to pay a lot more attention to the first round draft, the first round of the draft, even though the Browns don't have a first round pick this year.
Yeah, listen, I'm locked into both. Kind of stinks though. Like I'm going out with my boy tonight, and we're gonna watch it. But like, it's gonna take me a minute. The game starts at 7, which stinks because we get off the air right as the game off. So by the time I get in front of a television, it's gonna be like almost halftime.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting you say that because obviously I've got a 40-minute drive home tonight, so I'm gonna miss a fair part of the Magic and Cavs.
Yeah, I'm going to the place in Canton tonight, so I have an hour drive.
Oh yeah, so. And it's interesting. Like, I actually think the Magic, I think there's a lot of reasons to think the Magic, and we'll get into this later in the show, what the Magic can make a case out of this tonight. But if it's not, let's just be honest here. Because what this really is, if this was Boston and Miami, they've now been on both sides of the seesaw. They're tied 1-1 with Miami coming off a win. There's no chance. If we had a real fear of loss for tonight, there's no chance we'd be flipping over at halftime. Or an hour into the game. I think we all look at this and it's equal parts. We think the Cavs are gonna make short work. I think everyone's now assuming. I'm not. I think everyone is assuming the Cavs are going to sweep the Magic. And I think that adds into, I think there is, even when you don't have a first round pick, I think the NFL is such a powerful entity. I think I have FOMO. Like, I don't want to miss out on what happens in the draft. Because even if you don't have a first round pick, there's so much that happens in it. It's the best non-sports theater.
You got to follow the movement. And again, I don't know what to believe on social media prior to the NFL draft because there's so much just nonsense put out there into the universe. But who was it? Was it Jeremiah? One of the NFL guys said they think tonight there could be like 10 trades in the first round.
And here's the thing. There could end up being two, but right. It's the build up to it
and it's
that
the,
hooks
the,
you in.
The theater of what could be, what
now,
could happen.
Do octogenarians go to the theater? You guys can vote. Is watching the draft day movie the night before the NFL draft every year a lame tradition? 53.3% right now, 1,300 votes saying yes, it is. Tonight is the NFL draft, and I've already seen the clip multiple times of Greg Williams on his podcast taking credit for the Browns taking Myles Garrett. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this?
Have I seen about this? I have not seen about this, Nick.
So I'm pro Greg Williams because he says things. He's boisterous. I like a little profanity in my life. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
You should hear me like tinkering with my...
You're a big tinkering.
Honda sometime.
Excuse me.
Honda? That sounded like a car. My lawnmower sometime. You'll hear every word in the dictionary.
Is your lawnmower a Honda?
It is.
Ride it?
No. That's a push mower.
Oh, you push it.
Yeah. But then I've got a Cub Cadet that's a rider. Zero turn.
You ride the Cub Cadet.
Oh, I... like you
ride the hell out of
like
it.
Like you would not know. So we're pro Greg Williams here. But yeah, he put out a video today where they were talking about, on his podcast, they were talking about you know, memorable NFL draft stories. And it is his claim that 2 hours before the draft, the Browns were going to take Mitch Trubisky over Myles Garrett. And it took him threatening the front office to get them to stay to the commitment of drafting Myles Garrett.
Good for him.
I just got to say, man. Where was this guy when the Titanic was going towards that iceberg? Because every time I hear I never heard Greg Williams be like, let me tell about this one dumbass thing I once did and why I got fired in Buffalo. And I'm really not taking shots. I really do like Greg. And I think his podcast is great. I'm not a racer phrases. I promise you. I think he's great. But I've never heard Greg mention any story involving Greg that wasn't Greg as the solution to all problems. Why didn't you get a head coaching job? Because I told him how it was going to be. I was going to go in there and do things my... Okay, all right. Oh, my God, there's like 17 Greg stories. So when you say your prayers tonight, make sure to send one up for Greg Williams, who is apparently the reason the Browns drafted Myles Garrett. Now, that being said, expectations for the next 48 hours of the Cleveland Browns.
So I expect them to do nothing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is going to be interesting, though.
I think the expectation should be that tonight's going to be relatively quiet from the Browns side of things. But I think there are a few things that probably might be variables that weren't last year. And I heard Mary Kay on with the Morning Boys today, where she said vehemently she does not think Greg Newsom is going to be moved. And so that's you know, she kind of was reacting to our Solomon Wilcott's sound from yesterday. I think she does not expect to move today either. But, like, I think Greg Newsom and Jed Wills are two really interesting points to start when we start talking about moves that could be made. And I don't know that a Greg Newsom move is coming. I still think it makes more sense, like, overnight or tomorrow morning or tomorrow before round two. And that's if somebody wants to pay the second round freight. But, like, I don't know, man. I got to say, I got to give credit and dap up to Zach Jackson for his 7-round Browns mock that was released earlier this week. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
Have not.
So even though we've spent a lot of this week talking about wide receiver and you know, whether it's a wasted expenditure at 54, got the Browns taking Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon, at 54. Thoughts? What do we think about this pick?
I like the position.
Mm-hmm.
Now the player is, I mean, again, it depends on how the kid pans out. But so far, the receivers they've drafted have not panned out.
So I think what makes a lot of sense with Franklin is he's not just a fast guy. Like he's not like a Tutu Atwell clone, where Tutu Atwell is like 5'6". That's Tank Dell. Tutu Atwell is like 5'9", 150 pounds. Troy Franklin has that kind of speed, but he's like 6'3". Some of the other picks here, Blake Fisher, tackle out of Notre Dame with the 3rd-round pick. I really like that a lot. I've come around with, like, I wouldn't be disappointed if the Browns went tackle at 54. Or if they, you know, traded down to pick up a 4th-round pick and then went tackle at either end of 2nd round, early 3rd round. I think If you think DeJuan Jones is a future starter, that's great. You still need a left tackle starting probably as soon as next year. And even if you think, all right, well, DeJuan's left tackle, then you need a right tackle because next year becomes more feasible to move on from Conklin. So I think offensive line's the thing that I don't think we've talked nearly enough about it. And when I say we, I mean I don't think Browns – I think we've talked a lot about D-line. We've talked a lot about defensive tackle, a lot about wide receiver – I think over the next 48 hours, I expect them to add at least one offensive lineman, and I think tight end makes an asinine amount of sense.
Why tight end?
Because I know Jordan Akins is on the roster. He looks more like a left tackle than a tight end to me. With Harrison Bryant moving on, I think you need a young developmental weapon and somebody who can maybe more stretch the field, like the Sanders kid from Texas. That, to me, makes a lot of sense. I know, and by the way, a lot of Cade Stover love is well out there from Browns fans, the Ohio State tight end. I don't know he's quite the field stretcher that Sanders is, but, you know, like, Njoku has really developed into a phenomenal tight end. Akins is a really nice piece. I don't know he's a 2 anymore. He might be more of a number 3 tight end, but I think you need somebody you can use to really stretch the field from that spot. And I think it's a thing you don't have. That's not what I think of David's game anymore. Do you?
I think David has really improved.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think that he was worthy of the contract they gave him, the $13 million a year. But he's proven me wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about in terms of his ability. Do you see him as a field stretcher? Like, I think he's – I'm not saying he's slow.
I think he can stretch the field. I think he does a really good job – in terms of putting the defense in tough spots, because he's a bit of a mismatch nightmare at times, because he is sort of like a receiver who you can split out, detach from the core, and he can go down the field and make plays, certainly in the red zone too. I mean, I don't know, man. I think he has turned into a really, really, I wouldn't say great tight end yet, but a really good one.
I mean, I think he's a top five tight end. I think statistically, yeah, currently, that's what he
but
was.
I mean, he's not like he's not Kelsey yet.
Yeah, and I think well, and I think that's why it makes so much sense that now if you think somebody has that kind of upside, like you're what halfway through the David contract, it would make sense. And by the way, even if David keeps playing at the level he did this last year for the next 5 years, I see no reason why you couldn't have two really nice tight ends in the same offense while having those speed guys on the outside. Now, if you've got two guys that can get vertical in Joku, and again, I don't think that's the strong part of his game. I think he's just all around a great tight end. And I think the thing that separates him from some of the other tight ends we've talked about is that giddy-up gear. He's not slow. He's incredibly athletic. But that giddy-up gear is not something that I think is really the focal point of his game. So if you could have another tight end that does have that and Jerry Jeudy, who's got the giddy-up gear, and Elijah Moore, who's got that, and who knows if maybe you can find a mid-round, you know, like Tank Dell, I think, was like a fourth or fifth-round pick. Tutu Atwell was a fourth-round pick. Those guys, you can pepper those guys in on the roster as well. So I think it's going to be interesting. 216-474-0092. You think it's going to be a quiet night for the Browns? I will say it is not why I'm open to the idea of trading Greg Newsome. But I can't wait for the Browns to have a first-round pick again.
Oh, dude, I've been so not into the draft because they haven't had a first-round pick in the last years.
Yeah.
Last year is probably the most in the last decade that I did not pay attention.
I think this is the first year that I've really – so I paid attention, but I just have kind of – and it's so funny because I do care. I'm very excited for tonight. I very much am interested in what happens
that
around
much.
The NFL. That much. But specific to the Browns, like this is the one where I'm like – and here's the other thing. It's not just the lack of first round. There's no glaring hole for today that if they don't address today – I'll be panicking about heading into the regular season or into camp, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think they could use another starting defensive tackle? Yes, but you've got so many good rotational defensive tackles. As long as you can keep a few of those guys healthy, you'll be fine. Am I a little worried about the linebacker depth? Yeah, I just said the word depth. If you do trade Greg Newsome, and again, it's not my expectation that they will, if you were to trade Greg Newsome, would you hypothetically need another corner? Yeah, you could draft one in this draft.
You could easily draft one.
And in this one,
well, you don't know that corner is going to be as talented as Greg Newsome.
Yeah, you are on high alert. You and Ken are on high alert on the Newsome thing.
What
Ken especially.
High? I'm worried about it.
Ken won't even entertain the idea. And
I am worried about it, Nick.
I think we're overrating Greg. Listen, I think
what?
I think we're overrating Greg.
I heard you the first time.
Yeah,
but I said it again because I was so taken aback.
What's taking you aback?
You said I think Greg Newsome's overrated.
I think you're overrating Greg. I think Ken is overrating Greg.
Hold on, can we run the tape back on that, Keith? Did Nick not say
he said we're? I think we're overrated.
Oh, we're overrated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then
it's weird.
I heard you wrong there.
You're welcome, or thank you. I'm sorry, or you should be
the
sorry to me.
We. I don't think he just meant you and him. I think he meant the
talking
general
about
populace.
Browns Nation.
Yeah. Well, no, the funny thing is, I think Browns fans are too low on Greg, but I think the media is overrating Greg. Like, I think Browns fans think the guy is a bust. I think he's a nice corner. I think his versatility is what I value out of him. It's not the level of play. Because I think when it comes to a really great nickelback, I think I can find a really great nickelback if you try. What's tough to find is a guy that's really strong inside and also can play on the outside. That's why I think he might be worth a second-round pick. But in terms of what I've seen from him, like at no point have I thought to myself, this is a guy you have to keep. Mm. And I am team spend them ducats. I am team spend Jimmy Haslam money. So it's not about, well, I don't want to spend the money on him. No. It's about you can't pay him all. You shouldn't pay him all. You can literally pay them all now in the NFL. And if you don't, you're just cheap. But you shouldn't pay them all. And the difference between the Ravens and other teams is the Ravens have picked the right guys to re-sign mostly, and they picked the right guys to let move on. Cavs Magic, Game 3. Cavs with a 2-0 series lead. And I think everybody in Cleveland is expecting a sweep. We'll see if tonight goes that way. I have some reasons to believe it won't, or that at least might actually be more of a game than the first two games were. And to talk about game three, to talk about the way this series is going, the Cavs' trajectory going forward. Our next guest is covering this series for The Athletic, also covers the Washington Wizards, the NBA. Josh Robbins joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Josh, welcome to the...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, it's great to have you. So I had said it. I think Cleveland, at this point, after the first two games, is expecting a sweep in this series. Should we be?
I think that's likely right now. It's all going to hinge on tonight's game. I think if Cleveland wins tonight, then game four is probably a foregone conclusion.
So, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. In Cleveland's favor. Yeah. So much of this series so far has come down to Orlando missing shots, open shots, which really are a lot of the shots that Cleveland wants Orlando to take. And if the Magic can't improve on their wide open shooting, then they don't have a chance.
So with that, obviously we know the generality is home cooking tastes a little bit better in the NBA playoffs than what you might eat on the road. How much of a factor is that tonight with things like those shots going down, those wide open shots for the Magic?
I think it's a significant factor, but the Cavaliers can do a lot to mitigate that early on. If the Cavs, in particular Donovan, hits a bunch of early shots, then I think they can take that crowd right out of that game. The Magic have had better – they have never had any problem filling that arena, even in the years that they've been bad after Dwight Howard was traded. But – it's just not a very loud arena. It's just not a very loud fan base. The old place was like that. The old place was loud as can be. It used to be a place where opposing teams hated to play. Not so in this case. So I think if Cleveland can start tonight's game the way it started game one and game two, then it would make its way for tonight 100 times easier. Now, if Orlando can somehow flip the script, then I think things get considerably tougher for the Cavs. And if Orlando can pull out game three, then game four is going to be a decisive game in the series.
Josh, for the Magic to be competitive, or to, like you said, to get tonight and get back into series, who has to play a vital role for the Magic?
They have to continue to play defensively like they played in games one and two, but their guards have got to get going. Their guard play offensively has been just not where it needs to be. I mean, it's been horrendous. They need more contributions from Jalen Suggs offensively. They need Cole Anthony to start hitting shots. Gary Harris was terrible in game one. He was pretty good in game two. If there's one kind of underlying theme to this whole series, aside from the Magic missing the shots that the Cavs want the Magic to take, it's that there's a very significant skill deficit that is working in the Cavs' favor. Their starting backcourt offensively is much better than Orlando's, and that has shown in spades in game one and game two.
Josh Robbins of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's covering the Cavs Magic series for The Athletic. So as it comes to the Cavs, what has stood out to you about the way the Cavs have played the first two games of the series?
I think that they've been physical enough. I think that they've probably exceeded Orlando's expectations in terms of how physical the Cavs have been. Mitchell has been superb when Cleveland has needed him most, and that's to start these games, because that got their fans rolling, and their fans were very good. Jared Allen on the boards has been fantastic. I know that the temptation is to say that he's been excellent on offense, and he is scoring a lot, but so many of those points are on dump-offs. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm just saying that where he's been really excellent has been on the boards. He had 9 offensive rebounds in game two. So those are the two guys who have really stood out to me. And it's not just that Mitchell has been scoring. It's that he's been scoring on tough shots. And in many ways, that he hit a 3 early in game one, late in the shot clock, over 2 defenders, Franz Wagner and Gary Harris. And there's probably maybe just several guys in the NBA who could hit that shot come playoff time. And that got the crowd rolling. So I know people want to say Jared Allen has been the best player in the series. I think Mitchell has been the best player in the series, and Allen has been the second best player.
So if we assume that Donovan is the most important player to a Cavs victory tonight in Game 3, setting them up for their first non-LeBron sweep in franchise history, I will ask you, who is the second most important Cavalier to win tonight?
I would have to say Jared Allen. The way that he dominated that glass in Game 2 just made it next to impossible for Orlando to build any momentum. He was superb. And the Magic have got to keep him. They've got to stop the Cavs to one shot every time the Cavs come down the court. Any team would say that come playoff time, particularly a team like Orlando that has a very small margin of error that is not shooting well. So if they can't keep Allen off the boards, then the advantage really does go to the Cavs.
Josh, when you look at this series, and obviously the Cavaliers up 2-0, is J.B. Bickerstaff out-coaching Mosley?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think J.B. Bickerstaff is working with better skill players. Bickerstaff would have been fourth on my Coach of the Year ballot. My Coach of the Year ballot went Mark Daigneault, Mosley, Chris Finch. Bickerstaff would have been fourth because of the job he did with so many injuries. But the reality is, and I think my colleague Jason Lloyd wrote this within the last 36 hours, you need to have shooting to win in the playoffs. And the upgrades the Cavs made this past offseason, namely with Strus, and already having Mitchell, already having Garland, that's huge. And Bickerstaff has done an excellent job, as I'm trying to say, but he's also has the benefit of a significant skill advantage in the backcourt.
Josh, we appreciate your time, man. Hopefully we get a drama-filled Game 3 here. Be nice to get one of those in this, and we appreciate your time, sir. Enjoy it.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Josh Robbins there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I thought he was going somewhere else when he said Jamie Bickerstaff has not, but it just seems more like, I think he's more in line with where I am with JB, and it's like, I don't think he is out coaching Jamal Mosley, but I can't tell, like, I also don't think he's being out coached. Like, I don't think you can tell. I don't think this is the series where you find out. Like, for instance, if you were to face Eric Spoelstra in the next round, you find out real quick who's the better coach in that matchup. I even think Joe Mazzulla is an interesting matchup for JB coaching-wise, because Mazzulla is not thought of as – he's thought of as the weak link in Boston. In this scenario, like, the difference between the two rosters are so stark, and it's so night and day. It's not
kind of like last night in the Boston series.
Yeah, well, but so it's not that I'm trying to say JB isn't doing a good job. And I think sometimes, anytime I say something about JB, people think that. It's more, I just don't know how you could possibly tell he's doing a better job, because he just has so much to work with. And there are still things I think he should be doing in these games. Like, we've won these games by double digits. If you had taken a few more chances rotationally, you might have won the damn thing by 20 a game. Like, if you had found the right role for Sam Merrill, if you had gone to some of your shooters in different scenarios, you're shooting big in Marcus Morris. Obviously, Dean Wade is out for the foreseeable future, but, like, if you had maybe done a couple of those things, I think there's even a chance maybe you have an even wider margin of victory the last two games. But I will say, I think I'm not trying to do that. There's no buzz in town. I'm not trying to do that, because I think that is, I don't know how you calculate buzz. And I thought that was a straw man hearing about it for all last week. I will say,
well, I mean, if you're not to take any shots here, it's not a shot, but you know, our buddy Peter Lynn Knight, you know, he says, you know, social media and phones, that's all we got to judge the buzz off of.
I like it that you were going to Peterlin, and I was just trying to avoid taking another shot at Lima, who I've just taken enough at this week. The morning boys do a wonderful
morning,
job. Morning, boys. But to get to the bigger point here is, I do think Game 3 is a tough sell for Cavs fans. I think we should be paying a little more attention to this game.
Here's the thing. We are going to pay attention to this thing tonight. The good news is it starts at 7. The game's going to be over by 9-ish.
Yeah. Well, when I say pay attention, that's the wrong phrasing. I think this is a game we should be on Cavs take an L loss. Cavs take an L watch, which is not a thing because it sounds horrible. It does not roll off the tongue.
Like, but if you watch the first two games, Nick,
mm-hmm.
and we did, to me, it's baffling, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it's baffling that the Cavs are a 2-point underdog tonight. And it was 1.5, so it moved a little bit on Orlando.
I think some of that is just natural home cooking. I also think there are very few teams who offensively and defensively have the kind of extreme splits home versus road that the Magic do.
Mm.
And I think this is – I'm not calling for a Cavs loss, but I'm as uncertain about a game as I possibly have been here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.